All right. Would you open your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Exodus in chapter number 20? The book of the Exodus and chapter number 20. We continue our study, our midweek series on the Ten Commandments. We are on the fifth commandment. And I promise you, I'm going to say that wrong before the night's over. I don't know how many times a day in typing and writing I had it in my head that this was the fourth commandment. So I'm going to say it wrong before the night's over. So just forgive me. I'm giving you a precursor. It is the fifth commandment. We read from God's Word out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment, honor your parents. Honor thy father and mother. Recently, there was a 40-year study done on inner-city persons from Boston. It followed them all the way from childhood to middle age. The results of that study prove again and again that regardless of intelligence, family income, ethnic background, or education, every person in this study that was taught discipline, given chores and responsibilities as children, were more happy and productive adults. All this survey or this study simply does is to confirm what God has already told us, that children are to honor their father and mother, that their days may be long and prosperous in the land. Now, if there is any commandment that we have seen literally deteriorate right before our eyes, it is this commandment, children honoring their parents. Never before has this nation known a time when such a large percentage of young people have a complete and utter disregard for authority. And friends, make no mistake about it, this begins in the home. In the home. Now I know, and I'll say this as I get into this further, I know that as parents you can do everything right and they can still go buck wild. That's just the sad truth. But generally speaking, and this is true, so goes the home, so goes the nation. Someone has said this, and I think it's probably pretty accurate. The teachers, and I'd hate to be a teacher today, and I have a lot of respect for men and women who sacrifice and teach, but the teachers are afraid of the principal. The principal is afraid of the superintendent. The superintendent is afraid of the school board. The school board is afraid of the parents. The parents are afraid of the children, but the children aren't afraid of anybody. And I think that's pretty close to how it is in the world in which we live. Satan has sought to destroy the home ever since the Garden of Eden. Ever since then, he has been trying to destroy the home. The home is the most basic building block of any society. You demolish the home, and eventually you will destroy the nation. Our own government, by the recent ridiculous rulings, has undermined the family as God has designed it and unwittingly undermined its own authority. Did you know that in the civil law in Israel in the Old Testament days, that it condoned capital punishment for stubborn and rebellious children? Now, that's harsh, right? I'm talking capital punishment. If a child continually rebelled against God, and the parents warned them and warned them and warned them, and they refused to obey, they would take this child to the city gates or the judges would rule concerning this, and if the child was found to be constantly rebellious and stubborn and would not repent, they were to take that child out and stone him or her with stones. Now, I'm not condoning that, and we're certainly not under the Old Testament civil law, but If you were a young person, you wouldn't have to see a whole lot of that till you get straightened out and start doing right. Right? You wouldn't have to see a whole lot of your best friend Joe getting drug outside and stoned with stones till you start thinking maybe I ought to start doing right unless I wind up like him. The reason why God was so severe on this in the Old Testament is simply because God knows. God is our Creator, and as our Creator, He knows that ungodly, disobedient children will ultimately lead to the ruin of a nation. We're seeing it in America today. You know me, I don't bring a lot of headline news into the pulpit, but as I see young people out rioting and tearing down statues, number one, it's so silly and so foolish and so ignorant that it's beyond belief. But I watched some young lady, they pulled down a statue, I don't know who, but they pulled down a statue and she ran over and started kicking it, a stone statue, and I thought, you must be dumb as that statue right there to walk up and kick the thing. I mean, what is that accomplishing? It doesn't show anything other than the rebellion of the human heart. It is a rebellion against authority. Now, I want you to follow me as we go through this. In this second table, now this commandment leads us into the second table. We have two tables of stone. The first one deals with our relationship to God. The second one deals with our relationship to our fellow man. And here in this fifth commandment, where we are told that we are to honor our mother and our father, God has uniquely used this fifth commandment as a bridge in between the first table and the second table. And here's what I mean by that. There is an underlying current that ties these two tables together. And God ingeniously designed the Decalogue. Remember, 10 words, Decalogue, the 10 commandments. God has ingeniously designed the Decalogue so that even as we turn our eyes towards our fellow man, we must also remember that by honoring our nearest and our dearest, we are also recognizing the headship that God has ordained. Now that was a really long sentence. Did you follow all that? The first table has to do with vertical, us and God, right? The second table has to do with the horizontal, us and our fellow man. But this commandment serves as a bridge between them because we honor God when we honor our parents. Because God designed the home. God ordained headship. And it brings honor to God when we honor our parents. On the other side of the coin, it dishonors God when we dishonor our parents. We must be careful to see that this commandment, though it introduces us to this second table of stone, and our, not the vertical, now the horizontal, our dealing with others, it also is a reflection on how we treat God. It's not just a reflection on how we treat men, it is a reflection on how we treat God. God ordained headship in the home, in the church, in the civil authorities. And when we rebel against that headship, we are rebelling against God. So we need to realize and remember that we can honor God by honoring our parents, or we can dishonor God by dishonoring our parents. Children that grow up having no respect for their parents will show no fear or no respect or any of the ordained powers that God has established. You show me a child that has no respect for their parents, and I'll show you a child that has no respect for law enforcement. You show me a child that has no respect for their parents, I'll show you a child that has no respect for a judge. You show me a child that has no respect for their parents, I'll show you a child that has no respect for church authority. Do you see how this plays out? This fifth commandment, though it does reach over into our relationship, our earthly relationships, it also is a reflection of our heavenly Father and our relationship to Him. As parents in our society demand less honor from their children, so all civil authority now receives less respect. This fifth commandment deals not only with how we treat our parents, but it also is a reflection of us bowing to the authority that God has mandated for us. Every child should be brought up and be taught to honor their father and their mother. Children got to be taught this. Their nature will what? Rebel against it, right? You know, my kids told me a while back, said every time you use us in sermon illustration, you got to pay us $5. But, you know, it don't work that way. It just sounds good when they say it. But I never had to teach my kids to be selfish. They learned that all by their own. So did you. You know, I can pick on them, but I never had to teach them how to lie, how to snatch something away from the other one. Because that's their nature. We have a fallen nature. What we have to do as parents is try to instill in them a fear of God, a fear of that which is holy and good and just. And friends, if we do not instill in them a respect for parental authority, they're not going to show authority outside of the home. People think, well, you cannot, you kick your children, and listen, I know this and you know this, but people say, well, your children shouldn't be afraid of. Well, now listen, I say this. There's a fine line that has to be found. And it's not easy as a parent to know where that line is. It really isn't. Because you want your children to be able to come to you when they need you and not be afraid to talk to you. You want that for your kids. But it's also healthy for them to have a little bit of a holy fear of their parents. Now, I was scared of my dad. In fact, I probably would be even today. He raised his hand at me. But I lived through it. And so will you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that my parents always did everything right. But they instilled in me a respect for their authority. And that goes well beyond saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just simply a matter of words, but down in their heart. And in our heart, we need to try to teach our children to have respect for the authority that God has given in the home so that they will respect the authority outside of the home that God has ordained. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." Now, I know that in today's economy, you better be very careful about corporal punishment, about spanking a child. But if you do not, my dad used to say this, if you don't correct them in the baby pen, the civil authorities will correct them in the state pen. That's what my dad used to warn me about. Folks, our children need to be taught. They need to know. God's Word demands that we honor our father and mother. What does it mean to honor? What does that mean? When this text tells us that we are to honor our parents, first thing I'll say is that it means we must respect them. We must respect our parents. We must pay homage to them. In the Old Testament, that word honor literally translated would mean to make weighty or to give weight to. Understand it like in this fashion. If we say this is a weighty subject, what are we saying? That's a serious or solemn subject. And what this word has to do with is that you are to consider your parents of great value. Their opinion has great weight to it. What they have to say is of value. Now, not everybody grows up in a Christian home, right? Not everybody is brought up, taught biblical things. And I know you can't make a one-size-fits-all, period. You can't do that. But we are to, and I'll explore that a little bit more in a minute, but when our parents are in the right, and when they are teaching us right, we are to give great weight to what they say. We are to respect their opinion, to value or to prize what they say. We are to have a certain amount of reverence for them. I think it's really quite poetic the way God's Word lays this out. No child should easily dismiss or quickly dismiss what their parents are teaching them. If you're being taught in the things of God in particular, you're being taught what is good, what is healthy, what is wholesome, what is right, then you should give great weight to what your parents are teaching you. Not easily or quickly dismiss this, but to realize good parents only want what's good for you. Good parents only want what's good for you. We honor our parents, and listen to this, that extends for all of life. We don't just honor our parents when we're young, and then when we grow up, we don't have to honor them anymore. You show me an age limit out of this text. Show me when it says when you get age 18, you don't have to honor your parents anymore. Or when they get to be 80, you don't have to honor them anymore. You'll not find any kind of exception in here. The only exception that there is when you're being taught contrary to the Word of God. I'll get to that in just a minute. When you're being taught contrary to the Word of God, that's separate and unique altogether. But when you're taught what is right, true, good, wholesome, and healthy, you are to honor them, and you're to do that through all of life. The honoring of our parents is to include our youth, our middle age, and even in our old age or their old age. As long as our parents are alive, they are to be honored. And I'll just say this as somebody who still has his parents, I should value that, right? As I look around at a number of you folks who don't have your parents anymore, you'd love to be able to have them around so that you could show them some love and respect, right? So those of us that do should value that while we have them. We are to honor them. One of the saddest things that we are witness to, and I am not in any way against nursing home or facilities like this. There is certainly a time and a good purpose behind them. But it should grieve us when we see parents whose children drop them off and go months or years without visiting them there. That is not, and listen, I've been in the ministry 15, 18 years. I've been to a lot of nursing homes. I've seen a lot of sweet little old ladies who will cry because they say, my son hadn't been to see me in however long. Or my daughter. And I know sometimes they might have been there yesterday. I understand sometimes that's not necessarily how it is, but sometimes it is how it is. They are to be honored. They're to be respected. I guess I'd say it like this. When you were young and you needed someone to nurse you, feed you, look after you, they did that for you. Now when they get old and they need someone to feed them, look after them, you need to be willing to do that for them.
Amen.
That's how you honor your parents in their old age. As long as your parents are alive, they're to be honored. You say, well, wait a minute, what if I get married? Yeah, you're still supposed to honor your parents. And you should honor your in-laws. That's not always as easy to do, though, now, is it? But I'm just joking with that. You should honor your in-laws. You should honor those that God has placed in this position. When a man and woman marry, that doesn't mean his parents are out of the picture. They should still be honored. That means to some degree that this, even though you are a new family unit, we as parents, and this is something that needs to be, this needs to be prayed about and handled well. If when our children marry, they become a new family unit. And parents should not try to govern that new family unit or dominate or rule or control that new family unit. Because in doing so, you are interfering with that new family. And that is counter-biblical. That is against the Word of God. So we must be careful that even though we say, well, you have to honor me, at some point we as parents, you'd realize this, your children become grown, and they just have to make their own decisions. You cannot, even as a parent, you cannot control them as much as you'd like to. We honor our parents not only by respecting them, but by obeying them. Obeying them. Will you turn with me and look at a text this evening all the way over to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. All the way over towards the back of your Bibles in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. I preached on this not too long ago, but it still would serve us well to look at it. We honor our parents by submitting to them, by obeying them. Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Now notice these words, in the Lord. Somebody always asks, well, the Bible says I'm to obey my parents. Does that mean I have to always obey them? You obey them in the Lord. This is what I was reflecting or This is what I was mentioning earlier. If they are teaching you what is good, right, wholesome, and true, then yes, you are to obey them. You are to honor them. If, however, your parents are instructing you to do something that is against the Bible, you must first obey God and not the parent. Now, I wish this wasn't the case, but I've been in the ministry enough to hear some stories that just makes your hair stand up. I worked with a lady at the post office in North Carolina whose mother would prostitute her daughter out for drugs, would send her teenage daughter out into the streets of New York to sell herself. And she said, "Are you telling me I'm supposed to honor that woman? I'm supposed to respect her? And I know this is not easy." You are to obey your parents in the Lord. They lead you or direct you contrary to God's Word, you are not required to obey them. And I'm really convinced that in some cases, the best way you can honor your parents, in these extreme cases, the best way you can honor them is by getting as far away from them as humanly possible. I know examples right now of parents, even some who call themselves Christians, who the children would be best served getting as far away from them as they possibly could. Because the parents are not doing what's right in the sight of God, and the demands they're placing upon the children are anti-biblical, and it puts the kids and their family unit in a strange and awkward position. And I'm talking in some abstract, I know that, but some of you understand what I'm saying. You are to obey them, submit to them, listen to this, in the Lord, and only in the Lord. If a parent or an authority figure directs you to do something contrary to God's Word, who are we to obey first? God. God first. Notice this again, and it's still in Ephesians here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, and we'll mention that in just a minute, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. What this is a New Testament instruction to follow this Old Testament teaching. Obey the fifth. Honor your father and your mother. And as long as they're telling you what is according to the Word, then they are to be honored and obeyed. It may be that your parents didn't go to church. They may have been very good parents, but they were not Christian. And they may have taught you good moral values, good ethics, good principles, a good work ethic. They may have taught you all of these things. And when they taught you what is right, you should be obedient and honor them. But the minute that they start instructing you in unscriptural ways, they are the ones erring, and you will not be held accountable to God for disobeying them in that case. I wish it wasn't so, but there's some bad parents out here in the world. Bad parents out in the world. Children, we children, should honor our parents by following them in godly principles and in true and right ways. And that should be done. And here's one of the hard things. We should honor our parents even when they're not around. I stopped and looked at my daughters when I said that. Y'all notice that? You should honor your parents even when they're not around, right? Just because they may not see it or know it doesn't mean that God doesn't see it and doesn't know it. Children should not ruin their family name. Remember, I was talking about names are important and what it means and how we hallow the name of God. Children should not ruin their parents' good name by their stubborn rebellion. You know, it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. I know this, and I say this to my shame. When I was a teenage boy, I really thought that my parents were completely clueless. I really did. I don't say that to brag. I was 18, bulletproof, and knew everything. And wouldn't listen to anybody. God had to slap me around a little bit, put a little humility in me. I don't know if any of that happened to any of you, but it happened to me. God had to put me down at the bottom. and I mean instant, before I realized I was not bulletproof and invincible and didn't know everything. But as hard as it is for children to see your parents, if they are good parents, even if they're not Christian parents, but if they are good parents, and certainly if they are godly parents, they are instructing you in a way that is good for you. Good parents want what's good for you. And that means sometimes they may deny children the very things that they want the most. Once there was a school playground on the corner of a busy street. This was years ago, I read. But the children were so frightened by the cars come zipping by the freeway that they refused to go out on the playground and play, but instead they huddled near the building. Well, one day the city decided to erect a tall metal fence around the schoolyard. And from that day on, the children ran and played through the whole playground. You see, the fence did not limit their freedom. It actually enhanced their freedom. Children need fences. They need to know where the boundaries are, so that they will know and learn to respect authority. I believe that children feel more secure when they have clear boundaries for them. And kids, it may seem hard to believe, but parents are not trying to hold you back. They're trying to keep you from hurting yourself. I wish that we had, and I say this to some, you know what I mean. I wish our kids, and I'm not just talking about mine, but I'm talking about us. I wish that our kids would listen to more of what we have to say. It'd be good for them. It'd be good for them. I don't think kids realize, you know, they don't. Kids don't realize the real dangers that are out there for them that you're trying to protect them from, that you know about, they may not know about. We should honor them by expressing our gratitude to them for sacrificing years of sleep and privacy for them. Let me just say, we should be thankful that they sacrificed so much for us. Especially if God's given you good Christian parents. You should be thankful for them. Express gratitude. Say, I love you. Say, I love you while you can. But then notice that there is a promise. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that this is the first commandment with a promise. Look back at our text in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now listen, this is not a promise. This is not a guarantee that if you are an obedient child, you're going to have a long life. That's not a promise. That's not a guarantee in every case. It is a general principle, yes. Generally speaking, if you have good upbringing, and they teach you values and morals and responsibility, generally speaking, then you can lead a more productive and happier life. But sometimes children die, sometimes young people die. That's not necessarily a result of downright disobedience or stubbornness or rebellion in their life. That's not necessarily a result of it. Some writers take this to mean that this is a promise from God to Israel that their days in the land of Israel would be long, that they would inhabit the Holy Land longer and more prosperous if they would obey their parents. As you see that domino effect, when the children turned, the next generation turned more, and the next turned more, and that cycle of sin continued downward, this is a warning. It's not a guarantee. But if God has given you godly parents that have taught you godly principles, true principles, we should obey them. And in so doing, God says there will be more fullness in life. I really think what the writer here is not so much talking about the quantity of our years, but the quality of our years. You with me on that? There have been many children on the flip side of that. There have been many children whose lives have been cut short because they refused to obey good teaching in their lives. But then as we look at this, you remember me telling you that the purpose of these commandments were not to for us to try to climb our way to heaven. It's not like the Ten Commandments are like a ladder that we step on a rung and climb our way up into heaven. The problem with that is all the rungs on the ladder are broken because we've broken all the commandments. We can't climb our way up into heaven. We find in this commandment yet another revelation of the fact that we've broken God's law. Even if you had rotten parents, could you sit here and say that you honored them? If you had good parents, can you sit here and say, I honored my parents all the time, I always obeyed, always respectful? None of us can do that. There's not a person sitting here today saying, I've always honored my mother and father like I should. You see, these commandments are not given to try to make us righteous. These commandments are to show us our unrighteousness. We have failed God in this good commandment to honor our parents. We are guilty before a holy God of breaking His commandment. God said, here's 10 moral absolutes that you must yield to. And the fifth one is, obey your parents. Honor your parents. And we don't do that. We don't always do that, either in our youth or in our adulthood. And as such, we're lawbreakers and we're guilty before God. And God will hold us accountable for that unless we are found in Christ. Because here's the beauty of it. Do you know what Jesus did every single day of His life? He kept the fifth commandment. Every single day, He honored His mother, His stepfather Joseph, but more than that, He honored His heavenly Father every single day. He yielded to all the proper authorities that were there. He was the perfect example of what we should be. We are rebellious children. We deserve condemnation. But we've placed our faith in the perfect Son, and our sin of breaking the fifth was placed on Him at Calvary. And now, because of our faith in Him, because we trust in Jesus as our Savior, in what He did for us in bearing our sins, His perfect obedience, what He did right is credited to us, and what we did wrong was put on Him. There is the glorious work of our Messiah in our behalf. That where we failed in this, He obeyed perfectly in this. We're the disobedient children that has broken the divine law. We stand condemned, but God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He died, buried, rose again for us. Only the death of Christ can forgive us. Only His atoning work can forgive us of breaking the fifth commandment. See, I just remind you again, the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The purpose of this is to bring us to Him and for us to see we failed. This is why the law is here. We failed. We need a Savior. And it is evident by our breaching of the fifth commandment. As I was preparing for this message, I came across this quote. I thought it was very good, but also very soul-searching, and I'll share it with you as I close. I read this, and it says, to our forefathers, the Christian faith was an experience. To our fathers, it was an inheritance. To our generation, it has become a convenience. And to our children, it is merely a nuisance. God help us when Christianity just becomes a nuisance. Have you broken the fifth? I didn't ask you to plead the fifth. Have you broken the fifth? Have you found forgiveness in Christ Jesus? He alone can forgive you. God bless you.